The name of the Lord. Beatrice, why don't you pass out your paper right there? And while you're doing that, I'll make a comment. What she's passing out, she's passing out the pastor's letter, okay, for May. And so that's what you're going to be receiving there from her. And we had a great time yesterday. And we had a great time at our picnic. Praise the Lord. I want to thank everybody for all the hard work that behind the scenes and everything. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a servant of God. Thank you for serving the Lord. And thank you for serving in this fellowship. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Brother Darrell, you got an announcement you want to make? Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And then also I want to just announce here that, you know, we have intercessory prayer tonight, right? And this is open for the whole church. And we've had two Sundays of it, evening from 4, it's from 4 to 5, from 4 to 5 right here, intercessory prayer, 4 to 5. And this is open up for everyone, the whole church. We've had it for the men for the last couple of Sundays. And where we're headed, we're headed to June 8th. We're going to have a really wonderful time and celebration of the day of Pentecost, right? That is June 8th. And so we've got this Sunday night and next Sunday night of offering ourselves up in intercessory prayer. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know everybody's history by any means, but, you know, if maybe you've not experienced that, or maybe you've not known anything about that, and I'm going to be teaching on that here in a minute, but, you know, don't be afraid, you know, come and learn, right? You know, come and learn. If you've never been exposed to it, I don't know. And, you know, so I just want to say that, come and learn, come and learn. God wants to bless you. Now, also back there, on that table, you know, where it says offering over there. There's another sheet. We passed it out last week. I'm just making mindful of it if you want it. And it's a breakthrough intercessory prayer worksheet. It's back there on the table. And I just want to remind you, if you want that, this is really good tool. This is a really good tool, you know. And do you want to go forward in the Lord? You know, I mean, then you have to take appropriate steps. Right? You know, it's not going to fall on top of you like a bunch of bricks, right? And so praise God. Amen for that. So praise the name of the Lord. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And we're talking about the spirit of intercession. This is called the spirit of intercession. And we're talking about the work that the Holy Spirit wants to bring you and me into in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is more than a word of prayer, as we talked about a little bit last week. You know, we offer up words of prayer. You know, we come and we'll say, okay, who are we going to pray for? Or let's pray for brother so-and-so, whatever it be. And we offer up a word of prayer. Intercession is not the same as a word of prayer. And then there's all kinds of various forms of prayer. And not only that, but the Word of God, you know, talks about, you know, supplications. Supplications, you know, is a, you know, we're lifting up an urgency from God. We're lifting up an urgency from God. You know, that is, you know, to have a supplication. We offer up supplications. Petitions. Petitions. We offer up petitions before the Lord. You know, that's where, you know, you got things that you want to pray about, and you list them, and, you know, you're lifting up your petition, you know, before the Lord, and you're asking the Lord to move in these things and in these ways. You know, but then also there's another type of prayer, and that prayer is what we've been looking at, and that's called the intercession. This is intercession. You know, you just think about to intercede in a situation. Just think, you know, you're going to intercede on behalf of someone. You know, that's what it has to do with intercession. Intercession has to do with prayers that bring about needed breakthroughs. You know, this can be on of a personal nature. This can be on the mission of the church. You understand that, you know, we, the body, we, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a mission. We have a mission in the Lord, you know, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ involves also the prayer of intercession. You know, because you understand that the battle that is before us is spiritual in nature. You know, you need to be equipped as a believer. You know, you need to take the steps up forward in your life that you're prepared, that you can share Jesus, that you're an adequate servant of the gospel of Jesus. If you're just now saved, that's a little bit different, but you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you ought to know how to share the scriptures. You ought to know how to share. Take the steps necessary to be the servant of the Lord that God wants you to be, you know, and share. But there's more to it. There's more to it. There's a place where the power of the Holy Spirit comes and does what only He can do. He opens up hearts. I can't open up anybody's heart. I can plant seeds, but I can't open up anybody's heart. I can't change anybody's mind. I don't know how to do that. But I know the power of the Holy Spirit can come upon. There was a great moving of the Lord that took place from Europe all the way through in America called the Great Awakening. And in the Great Awakening, what it is that people just be going about their business and whatever it would be. There's even accounts of very evil and wicked men going about their business as they were. And then with nobody really saying much of anything, you know, that there was an awakening, an awareness that came upon them about their spiritual condition of their soul. That they realized that I'm not right with God. They realized that their soul was right hanging over the very pit of hell, and they were one heartbeat from entering into eternity, and they weren't right with God, and they knew it. But it wasn't because a man brought that knowledge to them. It's because there was a spiritual movement that took place in the power of the Holy Spirit, and people were all of a sudden made aware. This is one of the great works of intercession. You know, that we enter into. But more than that, and I'll show it to you in a minute, is that we're really offering ourselves as vessels and instruments of God. You know, we're coming before the Lord, and we're not just simply bringing our agenda before the Lord, but we're coming really, we bring an agenda, but we look for the Lord and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that comes and begins to bring leadership. He begins to bring heart. He begins to bring mind. He moves upon His people. He wants you and me to be made into adequate servants of the gospel. And that includes the power of God. That includes the power of God. How the Lord wants to bring power into your life and into my life. And it's not the power of yesterday. It's the power of the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray that in just a little bit. You know, I just felt that in the Lord as we were worshiping, a fresh anointing, a fresh moving, a fresh working of the Holy Spirit, not simply on us, but in me, right? In yourself. Because God's always got something fresh in you. Now, let's go on, let's go back to where we were looking here in Romans in chapter 8, and we were talking about the work of intercession here. And how there's an anointing that the Spirit of God brings for being able to be equipped in power in the work of intercession. Here I'm going to begin with verse 23. We're looking at it last week. And not only this, but we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to read it to all through and then come back to that. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. That bottom line is that I be clothed in that man of the Spirit. You know, one day you and I will receive a glorified body made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall, when we see Him, we shall be made like Him. You know, and that's where we're headed. But we have received the work of the Holy Spirit, the pledge of God in the Holy Spirit, as we are the man of the Spirit, to be clothed in the way of the Spirit even now. And this is where we find the power of entering into this intercession. Here, he talks about groanings. Now, I gave you the word here last week. I'm going to do it again. Is intocheo. Intocheo transliterated into English, E-N-T-A-G-C-H-A-N-O, entechano. And here's what it means: to entreat, to appeal a cause, or to plead a case. And then the word of the Lord says here that it comes in these groanings. The Spirit of God begins to bring groanings into your spirit that begin, you may be speaking words, you may be praying in the Spirit. When I'm in intercession, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in my understanding. And I sing in the Spirit because I love to sing in the Spirit. In worship, presenting yourself before the Lord. You know, you're bringing a petition. You're bringing a need. You're bringing a desire, and you're laying it before the Lord. And here's what you're doing in intercession. Lord, here we are. Now lead us forward. Here we are now, Lord God. Lead us forward. And the Spirit begins to bring these groanings. Well, I told you last week, and I'm not going to go into it greatly, but how does that manifest it? Well, God giving you a heart for. He gives you a heart for. That's empowerment, right? You know, I'm not praying because I need to, I ought to. Boy, I mean, it's in my heart to, right? A heart for. Another one would be grief. That we have actual grief that comes in our heart. We're grieved about things, and when we get grieved about things, then we get on our knees or we fall on our faces and we begin to pray, right? We begin to pray. We begin to come before the Lord and say, I mean, Lord, I just can't stand this. I can't stand this. I can't stand the condition of the church. I can't stand, oh, Lord God, Lord, that all those walking around me, Father, that they do not know you. And I don't know, Lord, what to do about any of that. You know, so there's this grief. You know, this is part of the groanings. I mentioned last week about a spirit of outrage. Yeah, a spirit of outrage, you know, that come upon you in the Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, that gives you a boldness and gives you a courageousness to stand in some things that they look so impossible. And the evil one will attack you with fiery darts and say, well, who in the world do you think that you are? You know, praying about that, praying about nations, right? Praying for the people in other lands, praying for our nation, praying for the movement of God in Owensboro, praying for the movement of God in Kentucky. Oh my goodness, it seems like it's such a big, you know, who are you, you know, be praying. But it's the Spirit that comes upon you. And he begins you, gives you that heart, that grief, that outrage. You know, these are groanings that come from within by the power of the Holy Spirit, a burden for. And then, you know, let me give you this part, entecheo, to entreat, appeal, a cause, or to plead a case. Well, the first part of that word, en, means this. It means to chance upon. That kind of sounds weird, doesn't it? You know, to chance upon or to hit upon. That's what that part means. But let me give its translation is this. It's likened unto you. You mean that you would dare to pray that way? That's what it means. Take a chance upon. And that doesn't sound reasonable. I mean, you know, that doesn't sound reasonable, praying those things. Who in the world do you think that you are? Some spiritual giant or some? You know, the evil one will try to attack you and rob you from the spirit of intercession in any way that he can. He loves to use frustration. That's one of his greatest tools. One of his greatest tools is frustration. One of our greatest tools is the spirit of perseverance. Right? And the Holy Spirit will give you, this is not things in your flesh. You know, that's why in intercession we present ourselves before the presence of the Lord. Right? You know, now a great part of that, let me show you here. And you understand, I give you a direct correlation to these groanings because we find that down here in verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, now look at this, also helps our weaknesses. Now, you remember we talked about our weaknesses, which I think is very important for us to understand. You know, that we would be dominated by a natural man. You know, we have to contend. We're not enslaved to the old man Adam anymore. You know, but we got to learn to put him away. We got to put him in his place. All right? And then we have to choose to walk after the way of the new man that we've received in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the man of the Spirit. You know, that's who you are. You've been born again by the Spirit of God, and your life now is found in Christ. You're no longer in the flesh. Now, I will tell you, that's a great victory right there. Someone that stands up and they got troubles with their flesh. They got troubles with various sins and various things. But you have the audacity. And that's what that word means, that E-N part, you know, to take chance upon. You got the audacity to say, I'm not a slave anymore. I do not have to obey you anymore. You have to get out of my life, right? You know, and you begin to speak these things. You know, this is releasing faith-filled words. This is also part of the work of intercession where we make declarations, right? We make declarations and we make faith proclamations in the Lord. You know, what happens if we're releasing the truth and the power of the truth in the situation, the promise of God, in the situation, whether it has to do with me personally, whether it has to do with my circumstances, my life, or where it has to do with the ministry of the church and that burden of the Lord that Lord begins to put on your heart. And, you know, and you begin, you know, you're not just simply begging and pleading God, but what you're doing is you're standing in steadfastness of faith before the Lord, making these bold proclamations that releases the power of the Holy Spirit. Until we open our mouth and begin to make those proclamations, those things are tied up and quenched and oppressed and are hindered in ever coming about, which is includes the salvation of men's souls. What do you think? Do you think what we see around us is the way God wants things to be? You know, you think that people's interest in the gospel, serving the Lord, loving the Lord, how about the masses that are around you and I every single day that don't not even know the Lord or have any concern? They're living for today. You know, that's called deception and darkness. You know, because it's all, you live, you know better intellectually, but you live like you're going to live forever. I got news, you're not. Right? You're not going to live forever. You know, and then so people do not think about eternity. They do not think about the condition of their soul. They do not make preparations for the. They just act like that life's going to go on and a strange thing keeps happening to them. You know what that strange thing that keeps happening to them? They keep getting older. That ought to tell you something, right? You know, hey, you know, maybe I'm not going to live on forever. Maybe I need to be concerned about this type of thing. But see, that's what darkness and what blindness does. It's a spiritual condition. It's a spiritual condition. These walls come down and are changed around us in the lives and the people around us that are in that darkness because God finds a people who will present themselves before him and enter into the spirit of intercession and will labor in the Lord, with the Lord, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit can be released into these things and upon these people and the ways of darkness and the deceptions of the enemy and territories that he has no right to hold onto because Jesus has paid the price. The church stands up and says, we're not going to have it anymore. Be released in the name of Jesus. Right? This is intercession. Now, I want to show you here. I will come on down here. So this is again in verse 26. You know, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray. So you see, this has got a direct relationship to prayer. As we should. Look here, but the Spirit himself intercedes. Well, how does he do that? Well, he does it through these groanings. For us, look here, he mentions it again. With groanings, look here. Too deep for words. I will speak it more at another time because I can't get into it right now and it's not the main subject, but praying in the Spirit, If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, you need to find it. You need to find it because it belongs to you. It's for you. And we as a church can't be ashamed of it. We can't say, hey, take it in the back room. That's not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how popular it is or unpopular that it is. For us, it's like, is this the word? Is this the word? Is this the church? Is this what we're supposed to be? Whether we're culturally acceptable or not, you start going down that road and you lose all power. You lose all power. The church will lose its power. The church will lose its voice. And then not only that, but the believer will lose its voice. And we just grow weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And that's what happens. That's not the will of God. That's not the will of God for us. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Now I'll get into that more at a later date. All right, let's look over here and now at another verse, and that's in verse 27. In verse 27, he who searches the hearts, now look at this part, knows the mind of the Spirit. Oh, do you see that? Okay, the mind of the Spirit. So this is one of the great things that happens in intercession is that because, your mind is not on you. Your agenda is not about you. It's not simply about, your preconceived, request. But there's a presenting of yourself before the Lord. And when you do that and you give the Holy Spirit just a little bit, he's so amazing. You give him a little bit of an open door and he'll speak tons to you. He'll speak tons to you. And one of the things he'll do is in intercession. See, we're coming before, presenting ourselves before God. And in that, we also have a listening ear. Lord, what have you got to say? That doesn't mean we don't talk or we don't pray. But Lord, we present a subject and then we have a listening ear. And the Spirit of God will give us his mind concerning the issue. Isn't that kind of neat? Right? This has been back years ago, and I don't want to talk much of it, but, it's like a military plan. The Holy Spirit will give forth a military plan of attack on how to pray. It may be a moment by moment. I don't know. He may lay it out for you. I don't know. But a lot of times what God wants to do is trust and have faith. And so he begins to lead you. You don't know where it's going. And you got that burden of the Lord, and you begin to pray it. You begin to pray it, whatever it would be. And then the Spirit's, he's with you now. He's going to impart the mind. Isn't that an amazing thing? Huh? Are you praying the things will happen, right? Because look at the next thing. Verse 27 again. All right. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes, look at this, for the saints according to the will of God. How about that, huh? How about that? According to the will of God. And so, we begin to have these groanings. We begin to have things that begin to rise up within us. They begin to rise up within us. We must remember that the Holy Spirit is the commander general on the ground for the body of Christ. God the Father, Lord over all. Jesus is the head of the church. Right? You, me, we're members of the body, are we not? Right? Jesus is the head, right? The Holy Spirit, he's the commander general, right? On the ground for the armed forces of Almighty God. We're to be a church that goes forward. We're to be a church that challenges the status quo in the realm of the Spirit. We do not fall down into the depression and despair and say, woe is me. There's just nothing that I can do about it. Because this is just not true. You may not be able to do anything about it in the realm of the natural. okay? But that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for a people. See, this is why the evil one, what he seeks to do in the condition of most Christians, I'm sorry, I'll just have to say it the way that it is, they live defeated Christian lives. There are more Christians that live in defeat and failure than live in victory and power. I mean, it just is, okay? It just is. And a lot of it has to do with the heart. A lot of it has to do with the heart. A lot of people are just fat and sassy and satisfied. I'm talking spiritually speaking, if you don't mind. Okay. You know, they're just satisfied. They got all the Jesus they want. I want to go about my business, right? You know, but what really is the issue is that the lordship of Jesus Christ really hasn't been fully established in their hearts. It really hasn't, right? Because when the lordship of Jesus Christ is fully established in your heart, you give up everything for him. Are you hearing me? You give up everything for him. Because he becomes your purpose. He's your reason for living. You live now with an eternal destiny on your life. Woo. I mean, good Lord, praise, glory to God. You mean to tell me you got something to live for? Right? Right? Versus getting up in the morning and going to work. Right? Okay. And then coming home. And then after you retire, you don't know what to do with yourself because you're kind of halfway lost. So then you take up piddling. And if you don't take up piddling, then you take up hobbies. Oh, come on. Let's all get into hobbies, right? Anything and everything to preoccupy your time and your life so that you can never, ever enter into the purpose of what God's called you into and find the anointing of the Holy Spirit and be a real soldier in the body of Christ. Because when that happens, you become such an incredible instrument of God. Now, it's a fight. Now, I'm just telling you. I mean, it's a battle. It's a personal battle. You know, the evil one wants you to be preoccupied with anything and everything and all things in any way, you know, that he can flicker before you. And it can all be legitimate. Are you with me there? I've said this to you before, I know you may not understand it, but you have to come to the place where you so prioritize your life and Jesus is first and foremost and everything and the mission of Almighty God. And if some of that very legitimate stuff has to rot, let it rot. You can't serve everything. You can't. You can't serve everything. You can't do everything. Decisions have to be made. And you continue to make that decision in the Lord. There's another side of it. It's called sacrifice. Well, we don't want to hear that in the church. You know, good Lord. You know, sacrifice. Sacrifices that you gladly make. You know, that you gladly make. Because you got a sense of mission. You hear me? You got a sense of mission. Right? And you know the glorious thing about that is that you'll be able to live in that sense of mission and it come to increase in your life all the days of your life until you go on and be with the Lord. I don't care if you're old and decrepit and everything else, right? The sense of mission, you still have the sense of mission. You know, you might... Somebody might find themselves in the nursing home or whatever it would be. They might find themselves where they can't walk anymore or whatever it would be. You know, but you understand that sense of mission doesn't leave you. Oh, good Lord, you ain't got nothing better to do than seek and pray and stand in the gap before the Lord. You know, and you think that really your life is being diminished when in reality, maybe those that are spiritual, maybe your life really is being increased. God doesn't look at things the same way we do. He just doesn't. Another point that so this plan of attack, you know, that we have wisdom and discernment that comes. You know, again, I mentioned, you know, words that are released. You know, we declare, we stand in authority. We bind, that we loose. You know, in the work of intercession, You know, we're entering into a spiritual warfare. We're entering into a time where we're crying out and calling on the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, we need some breakthroughs here. You know, I need some breakthroughs here. I need a breakthrough, Lord God. I need it in my life. I need it in my family. I need it in my home. I need it with my children. I need it with people that I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Oh, Lord God, Lord, we need it. We need it. We need it in our church. We need it in our city. Lord, we need it in our state. We need it in our nation. And then we don't throw up our hands and say, oh, I just don't know what to do no more, you know. You know, and the evil one will paralyze you. He'll completely paralyze you when here you are, where you are in Jesus, sons of God, man of the Spirit. That's who you are. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into it. All right, well, let me just look at a couple other things. Is there in intercession, there's a lingering of the Spirit before the Lord in His presence. You know, there's one of the attitudes that are kind of different. It's different from petitions, right? You know, it's different from supplications. Although those things are all involved. They're all involved. You know, but let me read a couple of these things. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus and prayer and intercession. You know, and just listen. In Luke 6:12, it says, and it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. You know, that's in Scripture for a reason, don't you think? Don't you think all that description is in there for a reason, right? You know, now, and what the church does is we take those things and we say, okay, we'll have it all if we just do, you know, what it says right there. So, I'm going to pray all night. Well, they forget the heart that's involved, right? You know, but the Word's trying to give us a little bit of a broadened vision that we should be seekers and not people that, you know, just have a devotional time. Now, nothing wrong with a devotional time, but in the midst of the devotional time is the coming in and out of the seeker spirit, right? Seeking the Lord. And maybe you did it all night. Maybe you did it for a few hours because time was not the point, but it was having the seeker spirit. How many things would God unfold to us that He's waiting to unfold? Yeah, I read another one here to you. This is in Matthew 26 and verse 40. Listen, and he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, now listen to this. So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Why is that in the Scriptures? Why is that in the Scriptures? I thought, well, okay, I'm going to find out just exactly what he's talking about. Well, he meant an hour there. But you know how he meant it? Different from the way we take it, I think. He goes, so what? Y'all couldn't pray with me for just 1 hour? We see the hour as the goal. Jesus is speaking of it as the minimum. Right? You couldn't pray with me for 1 hour, right? No. Again, the hour's not the point. But the point is coming and being before the Lord, letting Him have His way with you, right? And that time is not the factor. He's the factor, right? let me read this. That word hour is a hora. In the Greek word hora, it means H-O-R-A, and it means a time period. A time period. It truly is a time period of before the Lord. Kathy, why don't y'all come, okay? Do you know that these are things that are accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit? They're accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not works of the flesh. They're in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a big part of intercession. I don't see how anybody really enters into intercession for any length of time and time again. It's not the point. Without the gift of tongues, praying in the Spirit. I just don't see how you can do it. I don't think you were meant to do it apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I say something else to you? You know, see, now when those type of things start disappearing from the church, then the younger ones, they don't ever learn of it. Right?
That's right.
Because they're never exposed to it.
That's right.
Okay? Really? Now tell me, how's somebody ever going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? How's somebody ever going to speak in tongues when nobody around them ever does?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
How they ever learn that?
That's right.
Right? So if you got a whole congregation that doesn't do that, okay, well, we do it in our clear closet. But the little ones in the Lord never hear it.
Right.
And so, number one, there's an immediate, lack of emphasis. Right? It's not important. We need to be a Holy Spirit people. Whether that's culturally acceptable or not. Right?
That's exactly right.
We can't go that route. Right? I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring a freshness on you. A freshness in the things of the Spirit. Where you need that freshness. And you give yourself to the Lord. And, you know, you make room for intercession in that attitude spirit. You come before the Lord, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Watch God start talking to you. Watch God start talking to you.
Yes.
He wants to talk to you. You know, if you don't pray in the Spirit, but you did one time, but... You know, you're not around people who do pray in the Spirit, so, you know, it's just not there anymore, right? You know, you can lose that stuff.
Yes.
Huh? Did you know you can lose that stuff? It's not that it's not still there, but it's not, it doesn't move on you anymore. You have to keep it alive because you make room for it. You don't make room for it, it'll disappear on you. Oh, I spoke in tongues 25 years ago. Anyway, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Holy Spirit, would you come right now upon each and every one of us, and would you bring a freshness? Be refreshed.
Amen.
In the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Be refreshed. In the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Right now. Oh, thank you for that freshness. To renew, to kindle afresh. I'm going to pray another one that the Lord put on my heart, and it's welcoming the Holy Spirit into the midst of what you're burdened over. All right, right now, what are you burdened over? What burden are you carrying? What are you burdened about? What is it? All right. You're going to open your heart, your life. Now I'm going to pray. And you're going to receive the Holy Spirit into the midst of your burden. All right? Here we are. Oh, Holy Spirit. Come now. Come now into my burden. Come now. I receive you. I receive your hand. I receive your leadership. I receive your will. I receive your mind. I receive your direction. I declare in the name of Jesus that you now, Holy Spirit, are in the midst of my burden. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you're going to just let him lead you through it, right? Let's all stand. Go ahead, Kathy.
Holy Spirit,
I'm praying for you right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh Lord God, that a fresh release upon heaven. Fresh in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. I lift that up to you right now. Thank you for your great and your mighty touch in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. I just want to do a couple things. May I put my hand on you, Anna? Father, in the name of Jesus right now, let a freshness of God, oh, Lord, come to Anna in the mighty name of Jesus. And I lift that up to you right now. I want to thank you, Lord, for that touch, Lord God. Oh, Lord, fresh life, fresh revelation. Oh, the glory of the Lord. Let the glory of the Lord come in the mighty name of Jesus. And I got to do one other thing, if you don't mind. And you don't know anything about this, but okay. And I wouldn't even say anything. I wouldn't even say anything if I didn't know I didn't need to pray. But all right, so Will told me about, she's got this wonderful new job that's going to come about next year. You know, and it was a blessing of the Lord because there was a bunch of people who wanted it, right? Okay, so anyway, so praise God, congratulations. You know, that's what God does for his servants.
Amen.
That's what he does for his servants. And so anyway, I was in the supply room at my work, you know, so I was in there and Will had told me about it. I got off the phone and there wasn't anybody else in there but me, you know. And I lifted up my hands to pray for Cindy, you know, and this is what I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, here's what I prayed. I prayed, Lord, let this next year be wonderful. But something happened. Let me tell you what it was. When I raised my hand and the minute that I said the word wonderful, I had a strike of like electricity that just went through me, right? So unexpected. Are you with me there? I'm in the supply room at work. All right. Anyway, so anyway, and it came when I said that word. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. Oh, Lord God, for that the blessing of wonderful, Father, in the name of Jesus right now upon Cindy, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. I didn't get to say anything. This is our sister-in-law. This is Sherry Phillips right here. You know. Now, Father, I thank you for blessing Sherry, and I thank you for blessing Andrew and Nicole and Cody and their house. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, with glory, life, and power, I want to thank you for doing it, Lord God, and give you all the glory in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you want to say something?
I want to say something.
All right, go ahead and say something.
I hope you can hear me. God just spoke to me. You know, every time you breathe in, what do? You breathe in life. You breathe in air that helps you live. Well, God said, he's speaking about receiving the Holy Spirit. He just spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to tell him. I want you to raise your hands. Everybody raise your hands in the air.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for life in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, brother. Yes, Brother Dennis. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit will take you to heights that you never dreamed that you could ever attain. But you didn't attain it. He brought you there. So, Father, we're grateful for today. And thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the blessing of the Lord going forth in each and every one of us. We praise your blessed and holy name. Thank you for all the wonderfulness, Lord, that you've given to all of us. We praise you for it. Be glorified and magnified in each and every one of us as we give thanks. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.